We are up to Perek Yudal Pasik Tes. Ephraim, Mali Oid Lo'at Sabim. Hashem, we have two more psukim. This is the last pasik. This is the last pasik of Musar. There are two psukim left in the Sefer. This pasik is the last pasik of Musar. It's really the last pasik of the Sefer, to a degree. And the very last pasik is his parting words. Is a challenge. He's coming to give Klal Yisrael he's challenging them. But this pasuk really is the last pasuk of his Musar, and he says, "Ephraim, Mali Oid Lo At Sabim." What do I need the idols? Why do you have to continue to worship idols? Ani Anisi Va'ashurenu. It is I, Hashem, who will respond to your teshuva. If only you will do teshuva, I will listen to your prayers, and I will respond. Va'ashurenu means to look, like Ben Paros Yosef and Paros Ale Shur. Shur, the Shin Vavresh, I have that right in this word over here. Shur means to look. Hashem says, I will look at you. I will gaze down upon you and look out for your good. I will answer your prayers. I will look upon you. Ani, I will be to you Kivroi Shran, and Kivroi Shran is like a willow tree. Okay, it's a cypress tree. Kivroi is a cypress tree. What is a cypress tree? I have really no idea, but it's something that's similar to a willow. It appears where it droops down, and it's easy for people to grab onto it. The fruits are available; they are within reach. On a regular tree, if you want the fruit, you have to climb up the tree, put your life in danger to retrieve the fruit. A cypress tree is so kind. It droops. The branches droop down, and the fruit is on the branch, and it's easy to pluck the fruit off the tree. So Hashem says, I'm here for you. I'm going to bend down for you. I'm going to make...
The cypress tree is sort of like an evergreen.
So yeah. What's...
You see the pictures of the... It's like the Christmas tree. They got the trees behind the wall. Those trees are cypress trees.
So those trees, it droops down? Is that what it looks like? No?
But they're very green.
No, so he learns we're going to see the mepharshim. So maybe it's not a cypress. So maybe then it's not a cypress tree. Okay, we'll look at the mepharshim. We'll see how the mepharshim how they define the kivroish is a tree according to the mepharshim here on the page that droops down. And the meaning here is Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of beautiful metaphors, beautiful mamar chazal in this pasuk. That Kadosh Baruch Hu basically he's going to bend down and help us, just like a parent bends down to pick up his child. A parent lowers himself to make himself available for a child. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bend down to help us, to assist us, just like this tree called the Vroish, which we have to see what it is exactly. It swoops down to make its fruit available to the people who pass by. I'll be like a luscious, Rana means a fresh, a Vroish is the name of the tree. Rana means that it's fresh, it's moist. Mimeni, from me, Perichon Nimtza, you will find your fruit. Okay, so this, like I said, is really the last pasuk of Hashem. The next pasuk is a challenge. It's not part of his musar. It's like his parting words. It's his, like, he's bowing to the audience, is the last part, the next pasuk. But this pasuk is his last final statement where he finishes his words. In the last few pasukim, he said some beautiful words of bracha, what's going to be the Yimos HaMashiach. This also is a pasuk describing the wonderful things that are going to be Yimos HaMashiach, where Hashem will be like Ivroish Ra'anon, from which we will be able to find fruit, Mimeni Periyachon Nimsa. And in addition, Hashem reveals to us that He will answer our prayers and He will look upon us. But the beginning of the pasuk is a bit different than the last few pasuk that we've learned, in that it does add a little tinge of Musa, where Hosea says, in the name of Hashem, what do I need the nonsense? Cut out the nonsense. Ma li oid lo'a sabim. Why do I need the idols? Atzabim is literally means sadness. And it's a borrowed term that we use in reference for avodah zarah. Because avodah zarah only leads to disappointment. People put their hope and confidence in the idol that's going to solve all of their problems. And then when they realize they've wasted their life, they've wasted their money, they waste their time in investing in this idol, not only are they disappointed, but they're sad. When people realize their mistake, how foolish they have been in pursuing nonsense, it brings sadness upon a person. So it's a code word, it's very common, for an idol. Now with that introduction, let's look at how the Mefarshim learned this very significant pasuk at the end of Hosea. Ephraim, let's see over here in the Mitzudos Tavik pasuk test on page 206. 206, Ephraim. Ritzon Eloimar, Kishiyoimar Ephraim. Now, so he's putting a good twist. He's the Mitzudos is coming to say the pshat, not like what I said to you, that he doesn't want, obviously the Mitzudos does not want there to be any tinge of Musar in this pasuk, because this pasuk is a continuation of the last few psukim, which were pure blessing. How could it then be that we're shifting to Musar at the very end? So he says, in Echadami, this is not a statement of harshness. It's a recognition that the day will come that Ephraim, the Aseres HaShvatim, or if maybe you want to expand the scope of Ephraim to the Gans Klal Yisrael, they will one day, it's a Nevu, it's a prophecy, will one day say, Ma'aliyoid lo atzabim. What do we need Avodah Zarah for? The day will come when Ephraim will acknowledge that it's not to their benefit that they should worship idols. Look how he says the words of the Mitzudos. Whenever the Mitzudos says those two words, you mean that the Pasuk should not be translated literally. He's going out of his way to explain the Pasuk to mean, that this is all positive. Kishe Yoimar, after add that word into the Pasuk, when Ephraim will say, Mali oil lifnois el ho atzabim, why do I need to turn to idols? Halo you ata toivli me'os. It's better. Halo ata now toivli me'os. Now I'm not sure what that means. How you translate it? It was better in the olden days. It was better the old way when we worshiped, we served Hashem. When Ephraim comes to that recognition, Hashem says, "What?" Haloi ato now toivli me'oz. Oz usually means in the past. And oz yoshir moshe, it's the yud of yoshir, forces us. No, I think oz there means whatever it is. I don't know.
No, it's often
the word always has to be evaluated based on the context. On the context. In the Shira, it says oz yoshir. The key word is the word yoshir, which is a future tense. Yashir means in the future. So thus, because the word Yashir means the future, us is swept along for the ride. It also means us then in the future. Yimos HaMashiach, we will once again sing the song.
Or the present.
Or the present. But it was then in the land.
But if you say May
us,
that's the past.
Okay, the word us, I think it depends upon the context of the pasuk. This is a mitzvah. This is not a pasuk. You don't have to be. This is not so accurate. The words over here are not. It's not
the
question was
raised.
What?
The question was asked.
Oh, right. Whatever. But over here basically means that the Ephraim here is saying that I recognize now that when I'm wasting my time by worshiping idols, that they're going to come to a hakara in the time of Mashiach. That the only thing that is worthy is to serve Hashem. And when we come to that recognition, Hashem says, "I will respond in kind." Ani onisi. Again, he says, "Ritzon Eloim." Another Ritzon Eloim. Oz ani eneloi. I will then answer him. I'll call Masha Yishal Mimeni. The reason why he says Ritzon Eloim is because the literal translation means in the past tense. Ani onisi means I in the past have answered. It's not the past according to the Mitzudos Tavit, it's the future. When Ephraim will come to recognition that it's not worthy to worship idols, then at that moment in time in the future, Hashem says, "I will answer their request." So he's saying, Ritzon Eloim, I don't take the grammar of the pasuk literally. You have to look at the context, and it's common. We've mentioned so many times that the context, the grammar, has the rules of grammar have to be understood in Nevi'im in a different setting. Because in the Nevuah, there's really no difference between the past, the present, and the future. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the past, present, and future is all merged into one. Next, V'Ashurenu, very beautiful word, Estakel V'Ashkiach Loi Loseitz De Machsaroi. Ashurenu learned this, Estakulus means intense gaze. When they do teshuva, I will answer their prayers, I will pay close attention, what we call Hashkocha. What does Hashkocha mean? Hashkocha means to oversee. So this word is even a more powerful word. The Asherenu means an intense, overseeing of your affairs. Hashem will guard us in everything that we do to bring us success. Okay, yes, Mr. Rapport, we have.
So how does this fit into what we're doing? There will come a time
What?
How does that fit in?
Because today, Avodah Zarah has just shifted. It's true. We no longer have a taiva to bow down to a piece of wood and stone. But today, many of us are obsessed with other strange forms of service. Some people are obsessed with money. Some are obsessed with kavod. Some are obsessed with noshim. All of these things are new manifestations of Avodah Zarah, things that make us sad. We pursue these things to the nth degree, and finally when we achieve it, we realize, what do we have? Are we really happy? Did we really succeed? Okay, that's so. Even though you're right, we're referring to the future. The red light is off, so I'm just wondering, maybe that is contributing to the fact that this thing is not working. Let's give it a shot. Now I have a nice red light. Let's see if it works better. Okay, so Avodah Zarah, if you go to learn the passing referring to the time period when there was Avodah Zarah, then you're right. Then it means Mamish Avodah Zarah. But just because the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah was Mevatel Avodah Zarah does not mean that the principle of Atzavim Avodah Zarah has gone away. We know it's not true. Today people are pursuing, have pursuits of things that are not religion, does not include Hashem. And we know, and they will tell us, it does not bring them happiness. So that's basically just a new form of Avodah Zarah. I think it's pretty accepted, that concept. Correct? I think today they will mevatel Avodah Zarah. So you always hear, it doesn't mean mevatel. It means they took away Avodah Zarah, worshipping stone. But the Avodah Zarah didn't die, didn't just go away. It was transferred onto the pursuit of other things. Let's go now. Okay, the next words of the Mitzvahs, we go to the next page. The next page is page 209. We discuss Ani Kivroish Ranon. What is a Vroish? So the Mitzvah Sion just says, Shame the law in the name of a tree. I thought in the translation I saw a cypress tree. The art scroll, the blue, I was looking at the blue yesterday, the blue one, very good, it's very good there. It translates cypress. But you're telling me, and it said there in the art scroll, the cypress droops down. But you're telling me that's not true. So let's make believe it. Let's forget about the cypress. Let's see what it says here. It says, "Lamekumay v'roish halach." The word right now means it's moist. Lalach v'ha'ratoyv. It's moist and fresh. Shekoyfefin roishoy etzel sharoshav. The nature of this particular tree bends down its branches towards its roots. Cain. Ani Shoychein Moroim, Hashem says, I am exalted in Shemayim. Va'ani, Hashem says an incredible thing. Mashpil Einai Lehashkiach Bucha. I, Hashem, is exalted beyond exalted, infinite. But Yerekadosh Baruch Hu, in his kindness, he comes down to this world. He lowers himself. In Kabbalah, this is called Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he miniaturizes himself so we can relate to him. We can connect to him. And here even more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes down to this world. V'chol pri hatz l'chascha, all of your success, nimsa l'cha, many will be found from me. The Shechin, we have a general rule that the Shechin does not come down lower than 10 tefachim. The Hashem came from the highest realm of existence, and he comes into the Mishkan, and where in the Mishkan does HaKadosh Baruch Hu rest his divine presence? On the top of the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh is an Amma and a half. An Amma is 6 Tvachim. A half an Amma is 3 Tvachim. 3 plus 6 is 9 Tvachim. The Kapoires is the cover of the Aron is 1 Tefach. 10 Tvachim off the ground. And that's where the Kruvim begin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his divine presence between the Kruvim. And the Kruvim are positioned exactly 10 Tvachim above the ground. We know in laws of Shabbos, height of 10 tefachim is shaykh to the ground. If a person stops, suddenly until 10 tefachim is part of the Rishus Sarabim. above 10 tefachim is a makoim pitur. It's not a chelik of the Rishus HaRavim. If you have a protrusion on a wall in the Rishus HaRavim hanging out and you rest something down upon that protrusion, that's not a chelik of the Rishus HaRavim. If you live in a neighborhood where there is no Erev and you discovered that you're carrying something on Shabbos, the ideal thing to do is to put it on a fire hydrant or the poles next to the fire hydrant that are there to protect the fire hydrant from someone running it over. Those, like let's say over here, you don't use the air. Let's say someone here in Brooklyn does not use the Erev. And you're walking down the street and you realize there's something in your pocket, The ideal thing to do is to put, don't stop. When you realize you're carrying something, don't stop. Because once you stop, you've already done the malacha, you've already done the shayach, you've already gone from a shayach to a sharabim. So what? Keep on going. Don't stop. And look for your nearest fire hydrant. Not the fire hydrant, look for the poles next to the fire hydrant, because those poles are higher than 10 tefachim and have a flat surface where you, it's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so it's not a Rishus HaYachid. It's the perfect, perfect custom-made Mekoyim Pitur. The city of New York has done for us the biggest chesed, invested probably millions and millions of dollars and put all of these two poles next to the fire hydrants. It is the perfect Mekoyim Pitur to put your object that you're carrying by mistake to rest it down on Shabbos and not be in violation of a melacha deraisa of hoitzah. If you hold it, there's no erev, and if you hold it, there's just around deraisa. So they've done the perfect thing for us. Now, of course, well, let's say it's valuable. It's my wallet. Okay, so that's a different story. If you're carrying your pocket something that's insignificant to you, a pen, not a cheap pen or whatever you're carrying. I don't know. You're carrying some whatever you got in your pocket that you can live without. You won't lose sleep over losing it. The truth is, if it's talk of something that you can live without, it's very likely you'll come back at night, it'll still be there. So you won't have much of a problem anyway. You can retrieve it later on at night. So above 10 tefachim, but until 10 tefachim, if this fire hydrant was below 10 tefachim, then it's a chelik of the earth. Hashem, who is exalted, does not come down mamish to the earth. Because the earth is the kulagashmi. And Hashem is kula ruchni, but Hashem comes down to the extreme limit of where he created this world. Hashamayim shamayim la Hashem v'ha'aretz nosan livnei adam. Hashem doesn't come down to the aretz. Aretz means the earth and the ten tefachim that go above the earth, because that's a chelik of the aretz. Hashem is in the exalted heavens, but Hashem yet comes all the way down to within ten tefachim of the ground. That is where the kaparis is. The kaparis is ten tefachim off the ground. And by the way, there is an exception to that. And what is the exception? The miracle of Hanukkah. That's why it's a miracle. The miracle of Hanukkah, and I don't really know how this fits in, these are more Kabbalistic concepts, but in the eyes of the Bali Machshava, Hanukkah, Hashem broke the rules. Hashem broke the rules, and Hashem, Gesundheit, and Hashem came down within, lower than, within 10 tefachim. The miracles he did for us in the time of Hanukkah was in the thought of the Bali Machshava was Ki'ilu Hashem came down to this world even within 10 tefachim. And that is why there is a custom, not everyone does this, and it's also exactly how you do the custom correctly, to put the Hanukkah candles lower than 10 tefachim, 7 tefachim, 7 tefachim, 6 tefachim, I got the exact numbers, to put the Hanukkah candles very, very low. Now, does that mean that the neiros themselves should be below than 10 tefachim? Or does it mean that your menorah should be resting less than 10 tefachim and it can come up higher? If you want to, it can come up higher, but the menorah, the base of the menorah should be within 10 tefachim. Okay, well, the neiros themselves, there's a machlokes, different customs of what the minig is. But if you look at all online, all the Hasidic pictures, a big thing today, to go to a Rebbe, and to watch how the Rebbe lights the Hanukkah candles, to listen to his bracha, they sing whatever. Every Rebbe is different. They give whatever they do. The whole. It became today a big thing with technology, and all the pictures, the cameras are snapping away, and then they post all the pictures online. And if you look very carefully, you'll see that most of them indeed have their menorah very, very low, lower than 10 tefachim. Why? Because the Neirois represents, in the Beis HaMikdash, Melamed is Eidos Shehashchina Shoire B'Yisrael. That's what the Chanukah, that's what the menorah is all about. That's what Chazal said. The Ner Maravi went from 24 hours. It was a miracle. Eidos shehashchina shayre b'Yisrael. Chanukah. Not only is shehashchina is a ner maravi miracle, it's not only that, it's even below 10 tefachim. Normally the shechina only goes to 10 tefachim. So here we have this idea right here in this pasuk, ani kivroi shra'anon. Hashem is saying, I'm going to bend down. I'm going to come all the way down to this world to rest my divine presence. Ad kadei kach, I'm just pointing out, in the Chanukah miracle, Hashem went even so far to go below 10 tefachim off the ground. Yeah.
The problem in this place, we're not, what's fasting? Hey, whose is the biggest one, the tallest one?
The fanciest menorah? I don't know. So some of them have these old menorahs from the Alta Zeta. You know, it goes back, you know, from you know, a Rebbe. So those are very shvachim menorahs. They just barely fit on the table. Some of them are big, fancy menorahs. You're right. So then they are obviously following the opinion that this concept of putting it below 10 tefachim means that the base, there are two different customs, the base should be below 10 tefachim. They actually sell this in the Judaica stores. Now it became such a firm world. They sell special tables, nothing special, they just order it and they order from eBay and they resell it. Special tables that are lower than 10 tzvachim. And this is these are the parting words of Hosea. The parting words of Hosea is Ani kivroish ra'anon. Mimen in pericha nimsa, what's avroish? Mitsudos. Hashem bends down all the way to this world. He comes all the way down very, very low. And we'll see even from the moment of something even more beautiful in Rashi. In fact, let's see Rashi right now. We finished the Mitzvah. Rashi, we go back to Rashi and Pasuk Tes, page 206, Ephraim, Yoimar. So the Rashi is doing the same exact thing that the Mitzudos has done, the other way around really, because Mitzudos came much later. The Rashi is saying here that do not make a mistake and translate the Pasuk the way I translated when I started off with you. This is not Musar. Hosea here, his parting words, is not in the business of giving Musar. I gave you enough Musar. I'm only here to give you Brach. I'm not telling you now, Ephraim, what do you need this nonsense? Mali oilatzabim. Well, you should say to yourself, what do I need this for? It's not Musar. This is a prophecy. The day will come when Ephraim, which either is the Aseres HaShvatim, or Ephraim refers to the whole Klal Yisrael, will one day come to a Hakara that Hashem is Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, and they will then abandon the nonsense. They will say to themselves, what do I need the nonsense? Ma li oid, why do I still need la'at sabim, things that make me sad, avodah zarah, or the pursuit of things which are not in line with our Torah Hashkafa. Ma yoimu ma li oid lechas achari ho'at sabim, the yoshuv, and the day will come when they will repent, may avodah zarah, and when that happens, Hashem will respond in kind, ani, I will answer them. When they call out to me from a difficult situation, I will answer them. It's like the Mitzudos. I will look upon him. I will gaze. The word sure. Ale shur means a wall, but also means that the daughters, they would look, they look to gaze. Yeah. The word shur means to gaze. Ereb v'onyo, I will look upon him to be kind to him. And then he goes on to say...
By the way, next to Parsha, Philip says, Erenu below atah,
Ashurenu below karok. Ashurenu is a parallel to Erenu, to look at. Ani kivroish, now this is in brackets, ani kivroish ranon, ani loy. Now look at these words, and this is amazing what he says, so this is really, really amazing. Ani loy, nichpof lihiyois oichez yodoy bi. It's an amazing thing Rashi says. I'm going to hold on to his hand. I'm going to take you by the hand. Where do you have such a nusach and a chazal to say such a thing? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you by the hand. This is a rare gem, okay? A rare golden nugget found over here. This chazal, how we learn shat in the pasuk. Since the pasuk means the vroish, it bends down, and we're using this in metaphor. He doesn't go, the Mitzudos didn't want to go so far. He doesn't go say, Hashem has a hand. He's going to hold you by the hand. To say so, that's a little bit extreme to say something like that. But Rashi says this, Ani loy, I will be to him, nichpaf, like a big father, you have a little toddler on the street, So what does the father do? He was taught, you want to take the child? The father bends down, he holds the child by the hand. He'll hold through me, he will hold on to my hand. I'm going to lower my hand. Next Rashi, we'll go back to one. I just want to finish the Rashi. First, Kivroi Shranon. What's of Roish Shranon? Han Nichpaf La'aretz. The Roish, it bends down to the earth. Sha'adam Oiches Ba'anafav. A person is able to walk in the street to grab onto its branches. Because a regular tree, you can't. A regular tree, if you can grab onto its branches, the city would cut it down. The city would chop it down because it's a danger to the people, right? So the branches are always high, high up. But this is a type of tree, the nature of which the branches are bent downwards. So that's how what Hashem is going to do for us. Kiloimar eheye motsui loy. Now Rashi seems to be repeating himself. Who wrote another Rashi? Who wrote that part of the Rashi above? It's a little bit suspect because part of it is in brackets, part is not. And then Rashi says almost the same thing, but here he does not say the words liyois oiches yodoi bi. That is extreme, even for Rashi to say something like that. To take a pasuk here that talks about a tree and say that it's a metaphor that Hashem is going, that we can be able to hold on to Hashem's hand. Oiches yodoi, his hand. I take it back. I made a mistake. It doesn't say that Hashem extends his hand. It says liyois oiches yodoi. Us, the child, the metaphor is a child, I'll be able to extend my hand and grab onto Hashem. What am I grabbing onto? So I told you, you're grabbing onto Hashem's hand. Because that's...
No.
It doesn't say that.
No.
What? It does not say that in the past. It just says that we'll be able to grab onto something. We'll be able to grab onto his coattails. We'll be able to grab onto his feet. Doesn't actually say that we're going to grab onto his hand, but when a person puts out their hand, normally in our understanding, what do you put your hand on? The ideal place to put your hand is to connect it. Oh, if he held onto the Kisei HaKavod, that was in Shemayim. The Kisei HaKavod is in Shemayim. Then Hashem comes down to this world. Normally in this world, when a person extends their hand, you're connecting it with someone else's hand. I mean, that with a person, that's the ideal. If you can't connect to your hand, so you grab onto their feet, grab onto their shoes, grab onto their coattails. But you grab on, normally that's the way the world works.
Can't just be spiritual.
Obviously, it's spiritual.
So
why
do we have to use a metaphor? What do we have to
understand?
Why do we have to try to understand
it? Because it makes an impression.
But that's how we are with Hashem.
It makes an impression. We
nothing physical.
Nothing physical, but we need still HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He relates to us in a way that we understand. That's called Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond humanity. But we, who are human, need to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he speaks to us and he does things to us where he is mitzamtzem himself, kaviyachol, he hides himself, he miniaturizes himself so in order that we can relate to him. How far do you go in this miniaturization? Of course, it's the Malach.
Hold on to your tradition, hold on to your whatever.
It's
not physical.
Of course it's symbolic, right. It's not that, but how, even when you wanted to give a marshal, a metaphor, how far would you go in referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It doesn't say what I said, that Hashem puts out his hand. We put out our hand and we grab on to Hashem. Shimon, you know the famous, this is not a joke, it's a big joke. A guy is drowning. And they send in a helicopter. And the guy from the helicopter, the rescue team, comes down on a rope and he says to the guy who's drowning, give me your hand. Give me your hand. Nothing. He says again, give me your hand. This guy's drowning. Third time, nothing. Then the rescue man says, take my hand. And then the person pulls up out of the water. He pulls up his hand and takes hold of the hand of the person who came to rescue. So this is a mashal, they say in an appeal. Some people only know how to take. They don't know how to give. When you ask the guy who's drowning, give me your hand, he won't give, even if he's drowning. The only way you can save him, even when he's drowning, is to say to him, take my hand. Okay, so that, there you have just a mashal, two hands coming together. Now, let me many periyachon nimtzava halei anihu shekol toivascha beiti ba'ah It's only from me, Hashem says, from all of your blessing comes. And the reason why this was so intriguing to me, Oiches Yadoi Bi, is because it reminded me of an idea, which is also very controversial, in the end of Shemoyne Esrei. What do we say? Yihiyul Ratzah Nimri Fiv Hegel Nilfanecha. Hashem Tzuri. Hashem Tzuri V'goy. I'll leave this out and think about. We say, Hoshia Yemincha Va'aneni. Hoshia Yemincha Va'aneni. May your right hand save me. Right, Hoshia Yemincha. May your right hand save Va'aneni and answer me. So one sort of shot. And what does it mean? So Yemincha simply means that Hashem has two hands, the right and the left. The right is symbolic of Rachamim, and the left is symbolic of Midas Hadin. That's what I'm sure. That's Pashup Shah. But I once heard of Shah, and I don't remember the details. If there's any proof to this, is when you're asking Hashem, Hoshia Yemincha Vaneini, Hashem, take me by your right hand. I'm not. All I need is a child who is holding on to the hand of his father is happy. He feels secure. Does he know where he's going? Does he know what's happening? He can be in the tzel mavis, in the shadow of death. If his father is standing there and he's holding on to his father's hand, it'll be good. Whatever it will be, will be. He is at peace. I just need to hold on to your hand like a father holds on to the hand of a child.
Lo imurua ki ato imodi. Doesn't mean the bad will not happen to you. But
I just
you're with
need
me,
that.
So it's good.
So when you say, Hoshia Yemincha Vaneini, what does this mean? It means Hashem, send out your right hand and strike out all the nations and punish and bring miracles. Is that what it means? Maybe. But on a very simple level, look at this Rashi. It means over here, if you want to say that there's a reciprocation, if we put out our hand, Hashem takes us by His hand. There's an idea. I don't know if this you can say this is Hoshia Yemincha Vaneini is just hold on to me. Just your right hand should hold on like a child and a father. You walk in the street together. If you're with me, I get a sense that you're with me. That's it. I don't need more than that. Everything else will fall into place. Okay, now let's go.
And
answer me.
Yeah, so he wants to be answered.
Answer. What was the answering? To come out of the darkness. It's something to think about. Something. This Rashi is an eye opener. This Rashi says Hashem is going to bend down, liyoy, so that oiches yodoy be. Whose yodoy is this? Whose hand is the pasuk? Hashem bends down so that oiches. I think it's Hashem's hand. No, isn't that what it means? Oiches yodoy be. Hashem's hand. No, I was correct in the beginning. Hashem's will bend down so that His hand can hold on to me. Where is Hashem going to hold on? To my ears, my hear, my hand. You know, isn't that where you hold on to? When you want to hold on to a person, you have a child that's running in the street, you want to get hit by a car, what do you hold on to? You hold on to his hand. So isn't that normal? So here the Pasuk is saying, like Hoshia Yemincha Vaneini, take me by the hand. Okay, let's go to the next Mefoirash. Let's look at the Radak. The Radak, back on page. On the previous page, on page 207, Ephraim, Oz, V'Oz Yomru Mali, V'Oz Yomru. Then they will say, "Save me, like Rashi and the Mitzudos." The day will come. Mali Olatz Abim Ki Be'Oy Shayisi Oyvid Oysam Hayu Li Kol Hara. When I worshipped idols, I had nothing but sadness. V'Yata She'Avoid Es Hashem. Now, next page, on page 209, Yeli Kol Atoy V'Hazazem. When a friend will do tshuva, then I will reciprocate. I will look upon him. This is the opposite of the curses of Hosea. That was Dvar. Why? Hashem will respond, will say, bends down. And yet, I exist in an exalted world, but yet V'yestaka Ushval Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Ani Morim V'Kadosh Kama Esh Ani Morim V'Kadosh, but V'yestaka Ushval Ruach Hashem says I will still be with the meek and the humble. V'yimtoimar Habaroi Habaroish Enoi Oisei Peiros. It does not produce fruit. It does. This will be different. Mimeni pericha nimtza b'chol eis b'chol zman. So therefore, it's going to be a new type of tree. The veroish does not have fruit. Ilan sarak. But Hashem will bend down, and also there will be fruit. It'll be a new bria, a new min. Okay, next. Let's look at the Malbim. Malbim pay back on the previous special pasuk yud. Ephraim gam Ephraim shem avdu avodah zara tefila yoymar oz mal di oyla atzabim v'yakish ein b'mamish ani si v'ashven v'oz ane osam al tefila sehem v'ashkiach alei meirachoyk v'ashkiach asit. Same thing we said before. Umefaresh mashiyan Elohim. Now, what will Hashem answer? Yoymar aleihem ani kivroish anon ani doime, page 209 in the Malbim, ani doime kivroish anafav rabim mispashtim. I'll be like a vroish which has long branches. The olav rananim tamid, they're always fresh. Ad sheyoshev tachtav yimtza machzeh meichoy mashemesh umistar mizerim umatar. The advantage, the maila of the vroish is it provides shade. It provides shelter. Likewise, the Yimos HaMashiach Hashem will be our shelter. Kichein hachoyseh bi, anyone who takes refuge in Hashem, Yimsa Machse will find refuge b'bnei pigei hazman due to all the different occurrences that happen in time u'v'chol zman. V'loi tedame, don't think that I'm going to be like a real verosh that does not have fruit. She'enoi noise peros, ki meni per yichonimsa peros she'nimtsoim etzlocho himimeni return to loymar, she'ani ha'mashpia gamez ha'toiv ha'gashmi v'aruchani u'fri pri etzchayim. Okay, almost the same thing as the other mefarshim. Okay, let's, before we go further, let me just make sure I got everything in. What did I mark? I'm going to mark off anything over here. Okay, let's go to the last pasuk now. The last pasuk is a challenge. The Hoshea challenge. The Pepsi challenge. We have the Hoshea challenge. He leaves off with challenging his parting words. Mi chacham v'yovein eile. Who is a wise man who understands eile, everything that I've taught you, everything that I've said over here in these last 14 parakim. Navon, who is the Navon? The man who is Navon v'ye do'eim and will become knowledgeable. The ideas expressed will become known to this individual. Notice he uses four words of chochmah. A chocham, a yovein, then he uses the same word, but in a different form with novoin, with nun, novoin, which has a different connotation of wisdom, and then he has the word yedoim, which is lashon of dea. So chochmah is correct, but the fact that he uses the word twice with a different form, obviously it has a connotation and it's a different form of understanding. Okay, there are different forms of understanding. This chokhmah, we always say chokhmah, bina, and das. Chabad, that's what Chabad stands for. Chabad is called chokhmah, bina, and das. And here we have chokhmah, yovein, and novoin, two different types of bina. We divide the bina into two. And then there is das. Now, this is a very big topic of discussion. Where do you really have all of the rabbinic writing? In Sefer Mishlei. In Sefer Mishlei is where, in the beginning, the words of Dea, Chochmah, Bina are used throughout the Pesukim, especially in the beginning, the first parak of Sefer Mishlei. What's the point that we learn that together here? And there are lots of Mepharshim trying very hard, without much satisfaction to most of us, to really define the difference between Chochmah, Bina, and Das. And the proof that it's so confusing is, in the Nusach HaTfila, we can't agree. Right? In Nusach Ashkenaz, how do we say, Ato chonein le'adam Das, umelameid le'enosh Bina. And then what do? Choneinu me'itcha, Chochma, Dea, I'm so confused. Ashnas, Dea, Bina, the Haskel. So the Dea is first, Bina second, the Haskel. And what does the Nusach Sfarad say? They say Chochma, Bina, Vodoas. So we see even in the Nusach HaTfila, there is a difference of opinion of the order, which speaks volumes. The difference in the order, obviously, define what is Chochmah, what is Deya, what is Bina, how do they all come together in sequence? So before you even see the Farshim inside, just remember that the word Deya, the first time the word Deya is used in the Torah is by Adam and Chava. The Adam Yoda es Chava Ishtoi. And what does Rashi say? What is the word Yoda? He knew. What do you mean he knew? Chibur. Adam was connected. Das means chibur. Adam was connected to his wife Chava. A connection. An intellectual connection. A connection. What? No chachma? Adam yada. The word yada means to know, and know means to be connected. Then when bina, what is bina? Bina is, Chazal always tells, bina means mevin davar mitoich davar. What is seichel? Seichel comes from the word koil. Shin, or sin, and chof lamed. Chof lamed means totality. It means everything. And what is shin? Shin is always the letter with, shin is the second to last letter of the Aleph-Bays, which in fact many want to say is the last letter of the Aleph-Bays. The letter Tav is like the wrapping paper on the Aleph-Bays. And the last letter of the Aleph-Bays is shin. And that is why you always have in the Chazal, anytime you want to give exaggerations, it says 300. Whenever Chazal want to express massive exaggerations, so sometimes we want to discuss something that says the number 300, and sometimes it says 400. Either 300 or 400. Where once we had a thesis, we wanted to suggest that whenever Chazal would refer to the abundance of spirituality, spiritual matters, they use the letter shin. Or whenever you want to refer to an abundance of material goods, you use the number 400. Dalet meos. Esav was coming against Yaakov, the arba meos ish imoi. Esav is not interested in spirituality. He gave it all up. He gave it up. He sold the firstborn right to Yaakov. So his whole life is gashmis. And what did he come to Yaakov with? 400 men. Yet, when Chazal say in the time of the Bayis Sheni, there were 300 Kohanim Gedolim. Why do they use the word 300 Kohanim Gedolim? Because a Kohen Gadol is the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. And there, unfortunately, they didn't carry out their mission, so they died. But still, a Kohen Gadol is a Kohen Gadol. You don't go talk about a Kohen Gadol with the number 400. You talk about a Kohen Gadol in spiritual matters. That's the spitz of spirituality, the number 300. And there are so many examples. I mean, you go through this, like, there's no end to this. Go study the Gemara. The Gemara, every other daf, it says either number 300 or 400. I think if you look very carefully, you'll notice 300 represents spiritual matters, the extreme limit. And in a marshal, and 400 represents material matters. So the word seichel is koil. Koil means everything, knowledge, the totality of knowledge, with a shin, or a sin, which is the same, which is an abundance. Not just everything, the most of everything. And not just the most of everything, it has the shin, not the tof, which means a spiritual quest of knowledge. A different type of knowledge. When the knowledge is spiritual, it's a whole different type of world. When the knowledge is just the knowledge of pure, dry science. So he had to have three different words, which we have an appreciation. Then what is Chochmah? What is Chochmah? That is a big mystery. That we have no Chazal for. I'm not aware. The other three, we have a Chazal. We have Bina, Mevin, Damitoch Dover, Deyas, Chibur. And we have seichel is koil. The shayrish of the word is koil. It means everything. With the shin, it means the totality of everything. Everything multiplied by everything. In the world of wisdom, intellectual pursuits. But what is chokhmah? Chokhmah is a really hard word. You have I don't know the answer. I'm just asking. You have a makar. You have a shayrish of the word chokhmah. What is the shayrish of the word chokhmah? A ches and a chaf. What's that? A chaf and a mem? I don't know. I don't know any makar for the word chachma. We know it means wisdom, but how does that relate to bina, to seichel, and to das? Four words. The three of the words we can work with on their own.
Common knowledge.
That would be common knowledge. Guy in the street. is a, he now is yes chachma.
So
you want to say zira shemayim chachma zira shemayim?
Okay,
Talmidei chachamim. Okay, someone who is knowledgeable of Torah is called, the word that's used is not seichel, it's not bina, it's not das. The Chazal coined the expression, he's a chacham, talmidei chacham, in the Haggadah. Kenei arba banim, the first one is the chacham. So maybe that's the makar, you go to the pasuk. Ma havoida, what does he say, the chacham? The chacham says, ma havoida he says it like the Rasha. So there's a very fine difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. So I don't know. I'm just throwing out. After you're going to go take each individual translation of the word, whatever my Maamar Chazal you're going to find, you now have a challenge. The sequence is everything. We know in science, if you add chemicals together, there's a world of a difference in the order of how you put the chemicals together. You know, the secret, they always give the example that the secret formula, Coca-Cola, they always say that. I really don't believe it's true, but this is what they always tell you in the OU, is that we know the ingredients of Coca-Cola, we know it. How could you know the ingredients when Coca-Cola is famous for claiming that it's a secret formula? So they'll tell you the secret is the order and the amounts. They don't tell us how much and which order they put the ingredients into.
Well, the order, it makes a big difference in everything.
Everything is the order. Seder, the Lel Pesach, it's all about Seder. So after you go and you figure out what these four words are, it's a different result in which order you apply Chochma, Bina, Das, and Dea. Is a very big difference of a result, yeah?
It could be the smartness of this tree. The Chochma is how you're using this tree.
Okay, there are a lot of ideas. It means the application. The application. Okay, in a chanami, there are many different ideas, but there is the sequence of how you apply the techniques of wisdom will produce a different result. If you go one way, you might come out a satma chasid. If you go in a different way, you'll come out a tzioni. So you have to follow the order. You have to know which nusach tefillah you davening, yeah? The chachma is the sequence?
Yeah.
All right. I'm throwing in ideas because I have no idea what this means. Never had clarity. Let's see what it says. But we hear Hosea, he's giving us a challenge. Mm-hmm. Four words, Chochma, Bina, and another form of Bina, and Dea. And he does not say the word Seichel, that's not here in this list. Ki Yesharim, Darchei Hashem. The ways of Hashem are Yoshar. V'tzadikim yelchubam, tzadikim go in these ways, ufoshim yukoshbubam, and the sinners, they stumble in these ways. You know, he's really, it's the last pasuk of the Sefer, so he's saying Kaddish. He's saying Kaddish Rabbanim because Yoshar is Yosher, and Yosher is Yoshe Tevois, Yiskadal, V'yiskadash, Shmei Rabbah. So Hosea, at the end of Hosea, he's telling you, he's...
Not a bad thing.
Poshim, so obviously... So obviously we have to figure out what is the deeper meaning? Okay, so let's try to see some of the farshim here, as much time we have. A few more minutes left. Let's take a pasuk in the Mitzvah, pasuk in the Mitzvah. Pasuk mi chacham. Who is like a chacham? Ke ha simoi deri toich choysov. As I'm on page 209 in the Mitzudos, as he concludes his words of Musa, Omar, he says, Mishu Chacham v'yavin eile hadom, anyone who is wise and understands and discerns these words, v'im hu navoin lohavin davar mitoch davar. So he says this Chachma, and he's navoin to understand davar mitoch davar, yeda v'yaskil, he throws that word in, seichel, asher, you'll understand asher, darche Hashem heimo yisharim, the ways of Hashem are upright. Ein bohem niftol v'ikesh. There is no stumbling. And there is no crookedness. There is no knots, no knots, and no crookedness. V'tzadikim yelchu ba'am b'derech ha'mahalcha mibli ki shalom. Their path in life is without any stumbling blocks. Aval ha'poyishim yikashlu ba'am ki'ilu ho'i bohem makayim niftol. The word niftol means, I don't have a good translation. Anyone have a good translation of the word niftol? It's like the ikesh. It's similar to the word crooked. There's some type of inconsistency. There's a crookedness. Ki yetze machshavos libam yisalef lachem hadrachim. It perverts the ways. V'loy chen elat tzadikim hamiyashim or chesav tzadikim. Their ways are yasha. I don't really have the depth of what he's trying to say, but the basic idea is that the ways of Hashem are yasha. It's a matter of attitude. And the classic example given by the Bali Musar is in life, when you go through life, Hashem gave you Taryag Mitzvahs. How do you view the Taryag Mitzvahs? Are they opportunities or are they obstacles? Some people, they have a life and they have an agenda. They want to achieve certain things in their life. They want to be like the Goyim. But I'm an Orthodox Jew. So I'm an Orthodox Jew. There's Shabbos, there's Kashrus, there is davening, tefillin, there is this halacha, that halacha. So no, life is an obstacle course. There are rewards, there are bonuses, it's like a video game. You're driving down the video game and there are obstacles. You gotta know where to turn. You don't get caught, you don't crash into a tree. There are 613 obstacles in life. But just avoid the obstacles. Make sure you get off of Shabbos. Make sure the food is kosher. Do this, do that. And just reach your destination of success and happiness. If you take that attitude in life, you are guaranteed that you're going to crash into one of those obstacles and the game is over. You are out. Three times, that's it. The video game is over and you have no more quarters in your pocket to start the video game all over again. But if you live a life where the 613 mitzvos are not obstacles, it's a treasure hunt. It's a treasure hunt. There are 613 opportunities in life. You're not going to stumble. The game never ends. The fun is never over. That's what it says over here. It says here, there are 613 objects in this world on the playing field. Ki yisharim, I'm saying ki yisharim darchei Hashem. Each one of those 613 items is yashar. It represents an element of yashrus, of uprightness. If you have the right attitude, tzadikim yelchubam, they will reach they'll find each one of the 613 and they will be successful. But if you have the attitude of there are obstacles in life and you have to avoid them, and just somehow make do and get to where you want to go, Hashem, I guarantee you, the poishim, those who are the sinners, you try to avoid the 613 and reach your own destination, and this is not the destination, you're guaranteed, you're going to stumble over these mitzvahs, and you're going to be punished for being in violation of the mitzvahs, and the game will end very quickly. That's to a degree what the Mitzvah stuff it says. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik Rashi Mi Chacham V'Yavin Eile Mi Chacham B'chem V'Yisbainein L'Seitz Lev L'Chol Eile V'Yoshev Eilai. Who is the wise man amongst you who will wants to go and then expend the effort to fully go into the depths of understanding what I've told you and do tshuva? Because the ways of Hashem are Yashar, the Poyeshem Yikash Lubam B'Shvilam, because of them, Al Sheloi Cholchu Bohem Kein Tirgim Yoinasan. Because he's learning Pshat Rashi, the Targum, because they're not going to stumble in them, it's because they did not fulfill the mitzvahs, they've chosen to ignore them, that is what brings about their stumbling. So it's not a literal translation. It means you avoid it. By avoiding it, that itself is your fault. That itself is a damage to your neshama. You did not gain the spiritual gasoline, the spiritual energy that these mitzvahs provide you to continue, and therefore you're going to stumble because you have avoided them. Let's see the Radak in a few minutes. Radak. The Mitzvah stuff is very hard to translate.
You're avoiding.
Okay. Okay, in a Hanami. Okay, by avoiding the mitzvahs, you're avoiding the mitzvahs. That's really what the Mitzvahs David says. No, it's not, you're right, it's not the same. All right, let's just be very general. I don't have clarity in the very defined points between the Mitzvahs David and Rashi, but the idea is very simple. Hashem's ways are yashar. If you want, if you're looking to be sincere, you're doing it l'shem shemayim, you will succeed. If you have another agenda, and you're going to take the time, and either you're going to become not observant, ignore it, or you're going to use the Torah as a tool to promote your own agenda, you're going to stumble. Look what the goyim do. People who have their own agenda, they take the mitzvahs, and they use the mitzvahs as a way. As they corrupt the mitzvah, they hijack it, they hijack the mitzvahs, and they ascribe to the mitzvah strange reasons and strange halachas, and they use it as a tool to promote their agenda. So if that is your approach in life, then you're obviously looking for trouble, and the end will be you will stumble due to the mitzvahs, and it will not be good. Let's see the Radak. The Radak maybe will put more clarity on these words. He's the first one over here from the first one that tells that this over here is really not, this is like a challenge. It's not common for the Nevi'im to challenge the people. Normally, the Nevi'im, they make statements.
No, this sounds more like Sufism, but more like...
It's unique. I think it's a very unique thing. He's challenging the people. He's giving them a challenge. I've presented you information. I challenge you. Will you really study my words and fully understand the depth of what I've told you or not? It's a challenge. It's a unique approach. This is very beautiful. He comes now and he links. He's linking this pasuk to his own words. And that was one of the most harshest things that he said in this sefer. It wasn't the harshest, because the Chazal tells what the harsh thing is, where he says, Loi ka'oysam sh'ayim lo yitachein derech Hashem. We learned that back. K'mo sh'nema b'yicheskel. No, I'm sorry, that's what Yicheskel says. That's what those people say that the way of Hashem is not correct. To the Cheskel, the people said that Hashem's ways are incorrect. Ki im tashu b'shuva shlemo lo si zokharnu lechem to'avoseichem hori shonais. If you only do tshuva, Hashem will not remember your abominations. Let's just finish the Madarak and we'll stop. V'tzadikim yelchu bam, ki yakiru v'yedu ki kol drach ha-mishpat, v'im yiru tzadik v'ra'aloi. So here the Radak is coming to focus on a new idea. Now, Radak, remember this? He's focusing on here the very last theme. We're probably going to have to maybe... What time is it now? What time do we start today? All right, we have to stop. We're not going to do this now. Let me just tell you the basic idea. The basic idea over here is he's concluding his nevuah with the theme that there is no answer. He's going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hodieni no es derechecha. Hashem, explain to me, tzadik viraloi, rasha v'toivlo, the question with the capital T, the capital Q, there's no question like this. He is now coming to address that issue in his final parting words to Klal Yisrael. And the depth of that, we'll have to wait until Yirat Hashem next week.